The Good News Hour greets you once again. Your speaker is Evangelist John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. And we're going to continue the subject or subjects that we intimated in our last broadcast to you. We pointed out some four distinct things that believers or Christians have, and what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ know, what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ are, and what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ expect. And so we began by showing you several scriptures, some of them mainly in the New Testament, one or two in the Old Testament, however, what some patriarchs knew in ages gone by, and then what believers or Christians know here at the present time. And we mentioned several of these, and we need not go over them again because we should like to proceed just a little further. And so we're going to point out to you what believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have. Now that would be interesting, would it not? What do we have? And of course it will be just as interesting, or perhaps even more, when we point out what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ are, because that will be intensely interesting. But let's begin then with something that Christians or believers or those who are saved have here and now at the present time. You see, we do not wait till we die to find out whether or not we have eternal life, whether or not we have present salvation, whether or not we have peace with God. This is something we know of a certainty here and now. So we shall read to you, first of all, from the epistle of Paul to the Romans, and this, may I say, is the one gospel epistle. And the entire book is devoted to tell us what the gospel brings to men and to women and boys and girls who put faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Their entire life is transformed. They become new creatures in Christ Jesus. But let's begin now with, first of all, number one, what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ have. Now, if you return to Romans chapter 4, in the very end verse, it tells us that who was delivered, that is Jesus, for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. But proceed into chapter 5 and verse 1, where you come across a most interesting and precious statement that says, therefore, being justified by faith, now notice, we have peace with God. Think of it. Peace with God. Now we're living in a world where there's unrest and upheavals wherever we turn, and so little peace. And the only peace that can be known and experienced by the individual is the peace that comes through the blood-speaking peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we frequently mention in our broadcast to you that wars have been fought one after another, practically one every generation, and countless unnumbered millions and billions have been spent to secure peace, and we do not have it even now. But that would be small, infinitesimally small, compared with the lives that have been given, the lives of our dear young men, the cream of the country, who have shed their blood, many of them willingly, in order that we might have peace. But listen, we're going to tell you something today about a peace that cost our God all that He had. You see, He had but one son, that son, who is His eternal co-equal that ever dwelt in the presence of God the Father, loved by God. And yet, you know, we read that God loved the world, and for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, God had one Son, and He gave Him up to die, that peace, that rest, that salvation might become yours here and now. Oh, how wonderful, and oh, how precious. And so, I repeat, God gave all that He had, His Son, His only Son. And as we frequently point out, He could have far easier created and given to each one of us a world all our very own, easier than to give His own Son to die. It cost the precious blood that coursed through His sinless veins. It must be poured out upon Calvary's cross ere we could have peace with God. And I ask you, my hearer, do you have peace with God? Well, it's brought to you on the easiest possible terms. It cost God all he had. It costs you nothing. Now listen to this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I should like to point out to you something else that's very interesting and very precious. And again, this is something that believers, something that Christians possess, something that Christians have here and now. And if you were to turn to the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, and in the very first chapter and verse 7, we have something else that's spoken of, and it's ours to be possessed and enjoyed. And as a matter of fact, we do have it here and now. Listen to it. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So that believers in our Lord Jesus Christ have more than peace with God. They have redemption, each one, and also we have forgiveness. I think that's wonderful. Forgiveness of sins. Oh, think of what men have spent in order to obtain forgiveness of sins. Think of the agonies that some souls have passed through, thinking that their efforts would bring to them forgiveness of sins. But listen, will you, to Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you, or proclaimed unto you, the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And I think I hear some of you saying today, I wish I had forgiveness. I wish I knew that I had redemption. I wish I had peace with God. Well, let me tell you, it may be yours in the simplest possible way, by simply trusting, by simply receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your very own, as your Savior. And he is obligated to pass on to you unconditionally forgiveness if you believe in his Son, if you trust his Son, if you receive his Son. Forgiveness is yours, peace is yours, joy is yours, and I'm sure you desire that more than anything else in this world. But let's proceed further now, because our moments are limited, and there are so many things that the Word of God tells us that we have, and we must not fail to show you these as found in the Scriptures. Now, if you were to turn to the Epistle to the Ephesians, that's the chapter that we have been reading from, and if you were to read verse 10, listen to it carefully, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, then, according to that, have the Holy Spirit of God. However, we shall not limit ourselves to simply one passage, and so we're going to ask you to turn to, if you will, to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. And well, since you're nearby, you might notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 11 and 12. I think it would really be a profit to you if you all have it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and if you read in that marvelous epistle, you will find there what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ have. Each believer has the Holy Spirit of God. So you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12 and listen to this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So that each believer can say that he has received the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm so very glad to tell you that the Spirit of God is not merely a temporary endowment. Oh no, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. But perhaps we should proceed just a little further. Believers in our Lord Jesus Christ have an advocate. If you turn to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, in fact, in the preceding chapter, we are told that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And that's, of course, in chapter 2 and 1. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And you know, that suggests a relationship. You see, we can address God not only as the God of glory, the everlasting God, but we can address the God of heaven when once we trust Him as our Father. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. The one that saved us is the one who continues to make provision for our daily pathway until we shall meet Him in the glory. And then, again, we have something that's very, very precious, and I do want you to see this. In the Gospel by St. John, chapter 17, now if you have your Bible handy, you might please notice this. That is the Gospel by St. John, chapter 17. And in verse 8, we have His Word. Believers can claim that. He says, "For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send Me." Now, there are several passages in this very Scripture that tell us the same. Take, for instance, 14, "I have given them Thy word." Imagine, if you can, this priceless boon, this priceless gift, the Word of God, and He has given it unto us. And you see, there are many people today who do not even open their Bibles, and it perhaps lays it on the shelf, and it's there from week to week, from month to month, and never open. But if you want to know the way of life and the way to God, open that book. You see, it's God's message, it's God's letter to you, to tell you how you can have everlasting life. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And so believers in the Lord Jesus Christ then have not only an advocate, they have peace with God, they have the joy of salvation here and now, they have the Holy Spirit of God, and then I'll tell you something else they have. Not only His precious Word, but we have a forerunner. And you would find that in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 6 and verse 19. But listen, we'd like to tell you today how you could have forgiveness of sins. And that would be simply by trusting Him. Only trust Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.